Always Swollen to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazz Ed Maja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Quentin Tracy, Mike Franz, Nathan McKenzie, Joe Mickendo, Trayvon Brady, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, and Nicholas Fansler. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Holding a Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by webmaster of Krypton Site and K-Site TV, Mr. Craig Byrne. What's up, Craig?
Hey, we survived watching Sacred.
We did.
You know, there were things that I liked about this episode that I wasn't that I didn't remember. Mm. This was good.
There are things that I didn't remember that I didn't like about this episode as well. So,
we'll talk about those. There are a few logic jumps in this episode where
big it's time.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, but you know, we had logic jumps 2 weeks ago when, you know, Clark didn't mention his dead girlfriend. So,
very true. Very true.
Dead wife, whatever she was.
No, I don't think so. No, because that took place in between.
Well, him and Lois will be married when they show up in Elseworlds this fall.
There it is.
Or not Elseworlds, Crisis and Infinite Earths.
Oh, are they now?
Yeah, I'm putting that out there just into the world. Pretend it's real. Everybody tweet about it as if it's real. And no, I do think it's going to happen, though.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
I mean, what's the point of all this if it doesn't, right?
Exactly. I mean, we need to check in on these characters again. I think it's time.
So, you know, some of us get a little excited, you know, try to tweet about it a little early.
Yeah.
Make some comments about it. You know, it happens.
Yeah, you know, some people just jump on anything and, you know, believe it. Speaking of which, I am actually going to be in the next season of Supernatural.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait, the show's not already over? Never mind. Hey-o.
You have the same sense of humor as Tom Welling, Craig.
Yeah, so do you want to explain that situation
before
we get started?
So a couple weeks ago, I had a tweet from somebody at his New Zealand comic convention. And they're very excited that Tom Welling said he was going to be on the next season of Arrow in a panel. And I ran with it. A lot of people got excited about it because, I mean, mainly for me, I was like, oh, well, duh, it's Christ on Infinite Earths. This is him just being stupid and telling people he's going to be on it before he should, right? But
and then I'm like, whoa, slow down.
But
angrier.
Yes, much angrier. Yes. Craig and I had a fun conversation about that.
Yeah.
But Welling was joking that he would be on the next season of Arrow because he later on said in the panel, which people didn't mention until much later when we started doing some investigating, that he was like, you guys know Arrow's canceled, right? And it's like typical Tom, just he knows some of the facts, but not all of them, makes a joke. People don't get it. And yes, he's talking about being in Arrow season 9 because he heard Arrow was ending. So that's the joke.
Well, I thought it was that he thought there was no season 8, and so he'd be in season 8. But
It was either combination of him. Basically, he doesn't know what's going on with Arrow, and he shouldn't be joking about things he doesn't understand because it really upsets the internet. So keep your mouth shut, Tom.
Well, it's also interesting. I've seen on Twitter and stuff, there are some people who, I mean, like, I've been pretty harsh on Tom over the years about the no costume thing. And weirdly enough, now that he's doing cons and talking about it, I'm kind of like, okay, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's his choice. He can do what he wants. But there are some people who are actually getting mad at some of his jokes at some of these conventions.
Yeah. I mean, people just need to chill, you know? I mean, like, I think, again, I've said this before, 2019 Tom Welling, I think he probably would have worn the costume. I think he understands now how important that would have been. But 2011 Tom Welling, he'd been doing this for 10 years. He was burned out on it. It's not what he signed up to do. You know, he went out of his way to not do it, which sucks. Okay.
Well, and again, it kind of goes back to, and I'm getting ahead of ourselves, but Sacred, this episode, there's that whole bit where he talks to Jor-El in the cave, and it almost looks like Superman in his costume in at least one shot, just the way they lit Tom and everything. And it's like, couldn't they have done that for the finale?
They could have done something more. I mean, just
have him in the dark. You know what I mean? Or something. Yeah.
Have a physical Tom Welling in some kind of, you know, not far away CGI Superman, or I'm close up Tom Welling through a window with a clearly CGI body around me. Like,
or just red boots with a cape from behind.
There are ways they could have done it. But we're not here to talk about that.
Yeah, that's like 6 years away.
That's 6 years away. We're here to talk about Sacred.
But we will talk about how cool that looked in Sacred. Although right before he went to the cave, it was weird because there's like a cut, and I'm like, okay, now they're going to do the theme song. And then it's like, oh, there's another scene.
Yeah, it did feel that way when you watched it. Right? But the reason you're here, Craig, is that you've been on the two Chris Reeve episodes.
And now he's dead.
Now he's dead, and you're back for the unofficial, let's wrap up our business with Dr. Swan until we decide to open that back up with season 7 episode Sacred. So we see a couple pictures of Chris Reeve here. We see, we hear some stock audio from him from Rosetta at the end, which was a nice touch, but a random touch, I guess. And this is their way of closing the book on Dr. Swan. And I think, you know, let's just address it now. A big point of this episode was, and when it was conceived, Margot Kidder was going to come back.
Yes.
And be Bridget Crosby, who was introduced in Crusade and had a bit seen in Transference. And she, you know, was the number two person at the Swan Foundation. And she was going to come back, give Clark and the Kents the disc back, tell them that Dr. Swan had passed away, and go about her business. But Margot Kidder chose not to do that. So why don't you talk about that for a little bit, if you could, Craig?
See, I actually spoke to Margot about this at a convention. Number one, she wanted a contract to come back for multiple episodes. Mm-hmm. And she would have done it if it was that. But not only did she not get that, but it was like, hey, Margo, we want you to come back and announce that Chris Reeve's character is dead. And I think she found that tacky. And I don't blame her. I think there were reports at that time where she actually did an interview where she said that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand. I mean, she was friends with Chris Reeve. She knew him for decades. You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know what, you should have done this for the good of the show or the character. Like, no, this is a real life thing. And I understand why she wouldn't have been comfortable doing it. Now, that being said, I think Smallville had good intentions, because obviously they had to address the character of Dr. Swan.
Yes.
Obviously, Christopher Reeve had passed away. They weren't going to recast him or anything like that. So they needed to address what had happened to him. And from their point of view, I can see why they said, okay, well, we have introduced Margot Kidder as this character. We can bring her in and kind of wrap this up and move on. So I don't think it was tacky from their end, but I understand why Margot Kidder didn't want to do it, basically.
The other ball that I think they dropped in Sacred, though, is that whole news broadcast did not sound like a news broadcast.
Yes, that was, and it's very conveniently timed, too, right? Right when he gets the package?
Right as he got mail, and I love that big old thing they had to sign and everything. Now it's also digital. Mm-hmm. But
the picture on the TV is the picture that John Glover and Tom Welling took with Reeve during Legacy. It was just, they clearly just photoshopped them off the sides. But anyway,
but they had the rights to it, that picture.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's true. That's true. And
I mean,
you know,
they could have used a promo shot from Rosetta.
Yeah, they could have.
Kind of like that time that Chloe had that folder of pictures from the prom that were WB press photos.
Yes, very good, very good. But yeah, so I mean, that's to me, that's the claim to fame of this episode. This is, again, we didn't know season 7 was coming, going to reopen the whole Swan has a daughter, and here's the Veritas, and all that nonsense. But this was the end of the Dr. Swan storyline on the show, and then that's why it's notable to me, and that's why I asked you to be on this episode, Craig. So
I thought you just wouldn't make me to have to, you know, sit through Crouching Tiger, Hidden Lana again.
There it is. not quite an episode plot as an episode, but you can tell where the inspiration came from. But yeah, so that's our pregame talk here. But let's get into it. Rosetta. I mean, that was legit. I legitimately made a mistake.
You have to keep this in the podcast. You cannot edit that out.
Well, that's terrible. That's
that's like a Tom Welling slip if I ever heard one.
If we're coming back.
I mean,
we'll
this,
be back
this
next
is,
season.
This is the guy that when I talked to him a year and a half ago, bless him, I asked him, I was like, so did it take you 8 episodes to say the name Chloe on screen? And he did not understand the question until like 2 minutes later. And I'm like, you know, there was a reason I was asking about the name Chloe, right? And he was like, oh yeah, I get it.
Oh, Tom.
He's like the dog from Up.
Yeah, so let's get into it. Sacred.
Isabel's arch rival was a duchess, Gertrude, who was obsessed with finding 3 mythical stones. She sent ships to the far ends of the known earth, but all her agents could discover was this map, somewhere in China.
What does this treasure map have to do with Isabel?
The map never made it into the hands of the Duchess. Isabel stole the document and hid it. Gertrude had the exquisite young sorceress executed.
Isabel's looking for them too.
And she's working through you, using you as a vessel. I gave a copy of the map to Jason as well. I'm not surprised he didn't tell you about it. Your kinship with Isabel may not be a secret, but are you aware that Jason is a direct descendant of the Duchess, Gertrude?
Sacred is the 15th episode of Smallville's 4th season. It was written by Kelly Saunders and Brian Peterson and directed by Brad Turner. Now, Brad Turner, this is the only episode of Smallville that he ever directed.
Really?
And according to Smallville, the official companion, season 4 by Craig Byrne.
Oh, yeah.
Available wherever books are sold. You might be familiar with it, Craig. There are some notes about Brad Turner. Greg Beeman said that he was very impressed with Brad Turner. Quote, he had been recommended to me, and he had done some episodes of 24 that were really impressive. I thought he did a fantastic job on this episode. I tried to go after him to do many more, but he got snapped up as a producer of 24. Brad Turner just got it. I think he got the show, and he really shot it well. So one of those cases where a guy directs one episode, but he gets snatched up by another show, and he would have been invited back because everyone was pleased with how he did. And, you know, all story issues aside and all the jokes we make about them shooting everything in Chinatown in Vancouver, I think this episode is pretty well directed, Craig.
Yeah, you know, I realized when watching this, I've been near the Vancouver, I guess, the Botanical Gardens or whatever they are. And I've seen this place before and didn't even realize it. So I've been to Shanghai. Yes.
So the episode starts out and the Kents drop a stack of college applications on the desk for Clark to do it. And I like how they point out, since Lois is out of town, you have no excuse, as if that has any bearing on anything, but they need to establish, okay, that's Erica Durance is not in this episode, right?
Well, also, did you notice how many times Lois had emailed him?
Yes, yes. I'm going to take a screenshot of that and post it on our social media. It's always,
yeah, you
whenever
usually
you
do
see
that,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, whenever it's always fun to see who these people are. I remember one of them says, what's up, Smallville? Like, she misses them already. They're already in love, right? Not really, but... So... They're obviously Clark doesn't get his football scholarship anymore, so he has to apply for college and whatnot. So they're talking about that, and then someone comes to the door, and they have a package. And as you noted already, Craig, it's one of those you have to sign for it and all. It's very people probably don't even know what
it's
that process is anymore.
2005.
Yeah, it's very 2000, very of its time. And he gets his package, and Martha's like, "Who's that?" He's like, "Oh, it's from Dr. Swan." And speaking of Dr. Swan. And it's always this way. I'm not going to harp on this episode for it, but like in whatever movies and TV shows, people seem to turn on the TV right when there's a news story that applies exactly to what their situation is, right?
Yes. It wasn't like a random story about Bruce Wayne in Gotham City or anything like that. Nope. Dr. Swan is dead.
Yes, Dr.
And
Swan.
He's a brilliant philanthropist who gave to blah, 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 blah. But we heard, and apparently the fact that he's looking for aliens wasn't weird.
Yeah. Oh, his search for extraterrestrial life. Like, well, yeah. I don't know. It kind of ties into the SETI project and all that stuff. But he was pretty hardcore into it. But yeah, as we said, it's the picture of that Tom Welling, John Glover took with Christopher Reeve when they were at the New York Public Library for Legacy. So that's cool. And you're right. I do give them credit for not just using a shot from Rosetta, like in front of that, you know, space background or something. But so he's passed away, and like, oh, sorry, Clark. And Clark says, like, I had so much more to learn from him about.
I just talked to him last week.
Yeah, and all this stuff. Like, what are you talking about? An off-screen villain, as we used to call it, right?
And also, can we talk about Tom always calls him Jarell?
Jarell, like G E R apostrophe L. he opens up the package, and it's a note. And it seems to apply that Dr. Swan knew he was going to die. So that was interesting. Maybe it was like, in the event of my death, send this to Clark. Maybe that's what it was about, huh?
Yeah, maybe Dr. Crosby sent it, or, you know. You know what would have been cool? I think about this now. If they couldn't have used Margot Kidder to be an emissary to Dr. Swan, maybe they should have given Martha Kent that job. And then you would have had another character who was highly tied to Christopher Reeve in real life.
Mm.
And it would have given Martha more to do.
Go the whole work for Luther Corp route, work for the Swan Foundation route, huh?
Yeah, that would have been really fascinating, actually.
That would have given her something to do other than run the Talon, which she does this season, which I always forget.
Oh, that was this season?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I always forget. I'm like, why is Martha? Oh.
Oh, my gosh. That was one of those things. It's kind of like I had forgotten about the whole Lionel dying storyline, weirdly enough.
Hmm.
In season three, and I think I probably had forgotten about Martha being pregnant until we were doing this show.
yes, so many fun plots to remember.
Yeah,
but he opens up the envelope, after the note, and he's got the octagonal disc. It's back. So Swan took it and never did anything with it. I'm sure if, again, Christopher Reeve, they had plans for him season four. Had he been around, they would have done something with that, I assume, instead of him just mailing it back to Clark, right?
Maybe. Maybe that wasn't really Dr. Swan who took it in Legacy. Who knows?
Maybe. We'll never know. So Swan tells him that he needs to go seek out Jarell, and he apologizes if he sheltered him from him for so long, which doesn't really track with any of the stuff we've seen so far, but whatever. That's fine. Clark puts on his red jacket, so we have a plus one for red jacket, blue shirt, and goes to the cave. And I remember the very best, our friend Matt Trux, and he was on the podcast once, we were joking about the octagonal disc, because we had just discovered it, you know, an episode before he came on for the first time in Tempest and in Obscura. And we're joking about all the places that the octagonal disc can go. It's like it goes in the ship, it goes in the cave, and it goes in more than one slot in the cave. Right?
And it looks like a wind chime.
Yeah. Well,
I saw your tweet.
Yes. Whenever I see an octagon like that now, I have to take a picture of it, because, as we all know, it's a common shape. But
I think it's probably season 9. I had a gathering of Smallville fans at my house, and we watched an episode together, and I made Jell-O octagonal discs.
Oh, very good. Were they green?
With green and red, you know, whatever people wanted.
Very good. So it's amazing to me that you have the Skinwalker, I'll call it the Skinwalker hole in the cave wall, right? For the disc. And then you have a slot inside the secret room also for the disc. So this really is the skeleton key of Kryptonians, right?
Clearly.
So he puts the key in the slot, which is, I don't know, I don't even know if that slot was there before this episode. I don't know. It had been the table they put the crystals in, or the stones of power, right? But he slides it in there.
The Triforce of Wisdom, the Triforce. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this the first time we learn about this stuff?
Of
the
stuff?
Three elements.
Well, this is the first time Terrence Stamp as Jarell tells us about it.
Okay.
There is talk, you know, the Stones of Power, they've been talking about it, but now we get like the official story from the source, from Jor-El. Now, I really like this special effect, and this is the one you were talking about, and you tweeted about it earlier today, too, because we don't have the Forest of Solitude yet, so, like, how do we, and we can't, according to WB, we can't show Jor-El, we can't show Kryptonian's faces, so how do you do this? And I thought this was a really cool creative way to show Clark talking to Jor-El.
Yeah, it looked awesome, and again, that looked like Superman to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the blue jacket.
It's like flowing like a cape.
Yeah. And the shadows, like you're saying, like if you squint, you know, you can think, oh, that's the Superman costume. That's the whole idea of him wearing that.
It looked
that
a lot more like Superman than that little tiny CG thing that I'm still not over 8 years later.
Yes, very good. Now, and actually, you know, this whole setup, and they use not only the same special effects, but also I'm pretty convinced they use some stock footage of it later in Commencement. Because Commencement is full of like special effects stop footage, because, you know, it was a 90-minute episode. They had to get the budget where they could.
But, like, so they can promote Batman Begins.
Yes, for that 10-minute commercial.
I love that. So, but yeah, when you don't see Clark's lip sync and stuff, like, I'm sure they actually just use the same, because you can't really see Clark and he's like yelling and all that stuff. So they could reuse it. But anyway, it's actually it's a callback to actually Exile, right? When Jonathan puts the key in the wall, it looks similar to that. This one's a lot more cool with like the tendrils and all that. But season 3, episode 1, Exile, when Jonathan talks to Jarrell, he's in kind of that white column of energy, and Clark's in a blue one. So,
well, it's interesting because I posted the screen capture on the Krypton Site Facebook page, uh-huh. and I was like, guess which episode this is from? And the most of the people said Commencement.
Yeah, well, that's probably the one you would remember more, because it's like, wow, you hear Charon Stampack as Jor-El, you're like, okay, we're finally getting back into this. Great. He's like, the fate of the world is in your hands, Kal-El. It's a great, like, open. Yeah.
What would happen if three humans merged the three items? Like, why risk that?
Yeah. Well, they never properly explain that. He's like, if a human were to unite the stones, I'm like, then why are they? He's like, the knowledge of our planet was sent to the Earth and put across the Earth, right? But then why is there kryptonite around them, right? And they even ask that in this episode, and that is never satisfactorily answered, in my opinion. So
yeah, well, that's one of many things.
That's season 4 for you right there, right? But yeah, so it's a really cool cold open. You know, he like, okay, finally Clark's gonna be sent on this mission, and then we cut to Somebody Save Me. And I agree, like you, I thought, oh, we're gonna, right when he's like, I gotta go see Jor-El, the music kind of swells, you think you're gonna cut to the credits, but you go to the
I started singing at my TV, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Exactly. So we do cut to the credits there. We come back and we get Lana on the phone. And just asking Jason 20 questions, as girlfriends tend to do sometimes.
Well, as Lana, every guy she ever dates is hiding secrets and lies. And, you know, Dean Winchester is hiding secrets and lies here.
This is a very Supernatural-esque episode for Jason, right? Yeah, fighting witches in China, right? Isn't that what they do on that show?
Yeah, but Dean Winchester usually keeps his shirt on.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, well, hey, this is like 15 years ago. You know, I mean, you can't ask these guys to keep up that kind of shape that long. So, I do like a line that Lana tells him because he says that he's in Metropolis, and then some guy like yells in Chinese, and he gets frustrated about it because it kind of gives away where he is.
And then she's like, "Wait, good night, huh?"
Yeah, because it's night over there, it's day over here. She does say, quote, "I know what happens when people run off to Metropolis," so which is a reference to Clark running off to Metropolis, I assume.
Yeah, so. And then, you know, about a year later, Metropolis is going to be like a 12-minute drive away.
It's a small town right outside the city, as Lionel says in season 7. So, but Jason, you know, hangs up with Lana, and then who calls him but Lex? And Lex has followed him to China, and Alex is like, "Turn around!" And he's behind him on the phone.
So they have
right?
the same cell service,
yeah.
in 2005 in China.
I guess so, because otherwise it wouldn't have worked, right?
Yeah.
But Lex, he's straightforward with Jason here. He's like, "I know my father gave you a map," which is a very random thing. And this is what, and really, I mean, honestly, this episode is where all the season 4 stuff, like all the plot lines, really start to fall apart because nothing makes any sense. The reasons why people do things make no sense, because Lionel gave Jason a map. To China, to the crystal that we got, that map from Run, right? And Lex had the copies. Lionel gave him one. He gives Lana one later in this episode. I don't know why he's handing out these maps, right? But that's why they're both there. And it just, you just don't understand why people are doing things. So
no, it's Smallville.
It's a Smallville.
Now I feel like Tom at the convention. It's like, we have a character called Hawkman. What?
Oh man. So Clark's talking to the kids about how he went to go see Jor-El, and I like how it's like, finally, like he's like answering my complaints about the first half of the season. He's like, playing football and trying to be normal and all that's fun, but we both know we're not.
Getting married to teleporting girl in Vegas was totally normal, but yeah, okay.
But you know, it's he's finally getting plugged into the season arc, because up to this point he really hadn't been, right?
Yeah. Sure. I don't know what to say to that. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Well, he's you know, ultimately he's taking some agency now. It's like, okay, Clark's finally gonna get off his butt and look for these crystals, because he's done a terrible job of he gets them and then he forgets that he got them, or he loses them and all that
he's
stuff.
The
so.
Dog from Up.
So yeah, then we have our Lionel Lana scene, and I'm pretty sure this is the first scene between Lana and Lionel when they're in each other's bodies.
Yeah, right? Oh, I love that scene in Transference. There, it's like, oh, that one.
Yeah, that is a great scene between them. But,
but you know, that's another thing. Like, I had forgotten that Lionel was out of prison by this time. and just
hanging out.
Shazam recently, just like seeing John Glover in anything just makes it a million times better.
Absolutely.
So like I do like that scene, although it does lead into something that makes absolutely no sense to me. Yes, I'm getting ahead of you. I'm sorry. I have to get this out of my system.
Absolutely.
Okay, number one, he just let them borrow the Luther Corp plane.
Yes, big problem. Big problem. How does he have access to that?
And number two, like, Clark's like, oh, I didn't tell my parents. Don't you think they would know that if Clark's not home by dinner time, like, they might wonder where he is?
Well, he did say he left them a message. And to be fair, if I were Clark, I would have done the same thing. I would have not told my parents. But
you're not going to tell your parents you're going to China. No.
With it. Lana Lang. No.
Lana. And then, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, the Lionel here, right? I love how he's like hanging out making orange juice. He's wearing one of Lex's sweaters, you know? it's so odd to see Lionel just like wearing normal people clothes and not like the three-piece suits and the trench coats anymore. So.
Well, he just got out of prison. Give him, you know,
We'll give him a few episodes until evil Lex Luthor turns him back evil, which is another crazy plot. But him being good is interesting. I'll give it that. So,
well, I mean, I think Lionel. I mean, yeah, he was a total jerkwad, but I do think he did have a lighter side that Glover did push through at times, especially when he was around Martha.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I just think he had a bad way of going about it.
I do like he's telling Lana, he gives a lot of exposition to her about Isabel and Gertrude and their ancestor.
And then I was just like giggling at that. Oh, and Jason is her ancestor. Yeah. I'm like, oh boy.
But he tells Lana that Isabel uses her as a vessel. I was like, vessel. It's just season 5 finale. Jor-El uses Lionel as a vessel from time to time, as we know. So it's
take
interesting
to
him say that. Take a shot. So, but. Clark has busted out all of his cave research up in the barn. And does the barn loft look bigger to you in this episode? Like, he's got this dining room table up there. I don't remember that from before, but maybe I'm just wrong.
Been to the barn. It is pretty damn big.
Okay. Well, it looked even bigger this episode where he's got the whole setup. He's got all his pictures. Like, he's looking at Time magazine from Dr. Swan. Again, so we see, you know, the prop is back from Rosetta when Man of the Year in the 70s. So the picture Christopher Reeve there. So that was cool. But he's looking at all his pictures of the cave wall because he's back at it now. Just when they thought he was out, they pulled him back in.
Kind of like when they get him for Crisis this fall.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. So he's looking at this picture of the cave, the transference carving on the cave wall, which we never saw in the cave before this season. Just, you know, just want to reiterate that. And then we cut from that to Lana's back. I was like, oh, okay. That's an interesting edit, huh? I don't know why she keeps wearing these high top shirts, because like that's what shows off her tattoo, but that ultimately saves her life in this episode, I guess, huh?
So I'm just like, what?
Because she would have been shot in the
head.
Yeah,
it's just like I'm thinking about, I just think whenever we talk about Lana's tattoo, I think about the fact that it took Jason like 5 episodes to see it, yet it was his girlfriend.
Well, she was underage, so good job,
yeah,
Jason.
He was not Bryan Singer. This is a good thing.
Oh,
hey, then this is appropriate. Superman Returns is filming around this time.
That's right. All ties together. So so then we get, as you said, Lionel sending Lana on the Luther Corp jet. Clark goes to see Lana about all this, and she says she's going to China. And it's funny, he tries to kind of sort of defend Jason, because she's like, Jason, Lex lied to me. He's like, well, maybe they have a good reason to not tell you the truth. So,
but then later, she's like, I can't believe it's you and Lionel that I trusted. Like,
yeah, that's great. They're on the plane. I'm like, that's an ultimate insult. She's like, I can't believe I trusted Lionel Luther and you. It's like, oh my, I'm your like lifelong love.
Yeah, but you know, he's been hiding secrets and lies for like 3 years now.
Well, see, beyond just the fact that it's crazy that Lionel sent them to China on the jet, he shouldn't have access to that stuff, right? Isn't he just living with Lex out of charity? Like, can he still do that stuff with Luther?
Well, I mean, how else will they get him to China? Where does the plane land? Where does the plane take off from? Did it? They didn't
that
have
airport,
Uber.
That Smallville airport we saw in Exodus.
They didn't have Uber back then.
And you're right. And yes. I don't know, man. There's all kinds of plot holes in this episode, but lots of leaps of logic to get us where we need to be. But Jason and Lex are continuing to they keep trying to like out talk each other, like who loves Lana more is the game.
But also, that's another bit that I really liked is, I mean, Michael Rosenbaum is always amazing, but seeing Michael Rosenbaum and Jensen Ackles volley off of each other is fun, especially being somebody who's watched him in Supernatural for so many seasons.
See, because I've never, this is as close to Supernatural as I get. I've only seen, like I've said many times on the show, I've seen like the first five or last 5 minutes, like waiting for Arrow to start or waiting for Smallville.
So after Always Hold On to Heroes, you're going to do Always Hold On to Supernatural, right?
Do you know how long they're taking?
237 episodes. That's what they're ending at, I think. Or is it 237? One or the other.
No, it's 300. Oh, 300,
no, is that 300? So it's 327, I think, is the final number.
That's 100 more than Smallville. That's insane.
You know, but just feel I'm happy sure that Heroes will never make it to 100.
Yes, I can knock out Heroes in 1 year if I really
You'll
want
fall
to
asleep see, so. By like episode 24.
So they see they're being chased by the cops. Like Lex says, unless you hired Chinese security, we're in trouble. So they run off and they eventually get captured.
By Yao Fei.
That has its own Arrow. Twist to it. Yeah, by Yao Fei. I like the twist there. We'll get to it. But we get our jet stock footage shot that we see in all
Crusade.
These episodes of Smallville. This is from a movie, though. I was watching Mystery Science Theater 3000,
no.
And I saw this shot. So this is a shot from like the 80s or 90s of a plane. So the Smallville guys just took this stock footage.
Okay, now I'm even more
from
disappointed.
An old movie. Yeah, it's not from Smallville
itself. Yeah,
I thought
they built that plane so Clark could fly into it.
Well, but we see these same shots of this is like in Phoenix. I know we see this shot when he's in the plane with Helen. Lex and Helen up there. So I don't know how long they've been using this. But yeah, I too thought, okay, we have a plane. We're going to get some shots of it and we'll use it forever. But
that was
no,
like
season
8
not.
Where they had Oliver's plane that they kept going back to.
Who was that guy? That guy, was he not supposed to be Cyborg? That guy who shows up is like, Wi-Fi, bro?
That was
you
Cyborg,
know what I'm talking
yeah.
about when Oliver's sitting in there?
No, it's
but
supposed
it wasn't
to
Cyborg.
Be Cyborg. Because I had it on the Krypton site spoilers page. It was Cyborg in the script.
Yeah. It's just some random guy. He's like, yeah, I got it. Wi-Fi, bro. It's just,
yeah,
come on,
I forgot
come
about
Lee
that.
Thompson Young.
Yeah, that was supposed to be Cyborg.
But anyway.
Yes.
Thank you for solving that mystery.
This is why I need to do a season 8 companion book. Or was it not? Yeah, 8.
Yes. More and more reasons. So here, you know, we already mentioned some of their conversation where she throws some serious shade at her not trusting him until now. Also, she does make it's a funny comment. She's like, I feel like you're the only person right now who doesn't have an agenda. And of course, Clark is on his own agenda now to get the stone. So this was
does he explain to Lana why he wants to go there?
Because he doesn't want to let her to go by herself. He's being very
chivalrous. Because she actually brings that up, like, oh, do you know Chinese or something?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna let you go by myself. Oh, wait, do you happen to speak blah blah blah? Because he keeps trying to like not mess with all this stuff, because if he could just go use his powers, he'd be fine. But they do have another conversation here on the plane, like they often do, about like, you know, they're talking about Clark's secret, but they're not really talking about it. Like she's like, man, I feel like I've had this secret. I can't imagine living that way. And Clark's like,
I can't either, Lana.
Yeah, it's crazy to think someone else has a destiny in mind for you. It's like, oh, look at them just talking about their lives and not knowing it. But anyway, classic Smallville Clark Lana stuff, I guess. But I
Lana,
did
they're
going to
fill you with kryptonite and make you leave. Spoiler.
Season 8. We need more. Yeah, it's season 8 companion book. We can talk about that. So, Clark.
That was stupid.
Clark didn't tell his parents. I laughed at that. He said he left them a message. Right. Like I said, I'm right there with him. I wouldn't have done it. But then we come back to Jason and Lex, and they're in prison, and they keep trying to again. They're like, "Who loves Lana more?" You know, and Lex basically they keep going back and forth about this, and Lex basically tells him, in the end, I think I'll be the one protecting Lana from you. So, I mean, I guess technically that's right. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. I mean,
because it kind of went crazy near the end of the season.
But see, here's the thing. Like, I don't even think by now they know what they're going to do with Jason, right? Like,
the question I have for you about Jason, because I don't remember. I'm sure it's in my book. But which episodes did he miss so that he could film the Supernatural pilot?
Oh, was that going on there?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
it must have been.
Episodes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's late season four. I mean, I don't know which ones.
Because this is 15. I'm sure he wasn't in spirit, was he?
I don't. No, he wasn't. He was at the end. Remember, he sees him dancing. Okay. He's all pissed off.
Yeah.
But is, I don't think he's in. I mean, I'm watching these in chronological order for the most part, so I don't think he's in Lucy. Okay. I don't think he's in Onyx either, actually.
Okay.
And so that's probably when...
when he was filming Supernatural.
Yeah, and then he came back for Spirit for like those two seasons. Oh, that's right, because he's the one that... speaking of Margot Kidder, right? So they decide, instead of writing her character off in a nice way, they decide to kill her off screen. And then we have...
kind of like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, if we see like her leg sticking out and Jason has stolen the Transference Stone from her. I think that's in Spirit. So yeah, I you're right. I think between the episodes Lucy and Onyx, that's probably when he went and shot the Supernatural pilot. But yeah,
and
so that...
he's been making a ton of money since then.
Yeah.
But it's so weird because, like, I remember when Supernatural was the show that Jensen Ackles left Smallville for. Who would have guessed that show would still be on in 2019?
2019, and it'll still be on in 2020.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk. Yeah, to me, I mean, I no offense. I know so many people love Supernatural. I mean, it's not that I'm... you know, I'm more of a sci-fi guy than a fantasy guy. I mean, I'm sure I would enjoy it if I watched it. I mean, from all the people
who
watch
it. Oh, yeah, you would.
They say it's great. I mean, you know, I got so much superhero stuff on my plate right now.
But it's like, I thought 10 seasons of Smallville was a long time.
Yeah.
And to think 15 seasons of Supernatural, when all said and done.
They love doing it, so more power to them. So, and yeah, I would love Jensen Ackles to get on to go play, like, I don't know, Red Hood or Jason Todd or some kind of superhero character on the big screen, because I think he's great and he loves all these characters.
Yeah, I mean, Jensen's a great guy, and I mean, I thought Smallville was very lucky to get him. I do think Tom was the better choice for Clark Kent, because Jensen was apparently up for that.
Yeah, well, he was the runner up allegedly, and you know, do you think Jensen would have worn the costume?
I don't want to speculate because, you know, as much as I bag on Tom sometimes, he was the ideal Clark for the show. And I mean, it worked out. Yes, the finale was but you know what I mean? It's
you can't play that what if game. There's so many.
No, you can't. And I mean, the thing with Smallville is, like, especially now that we're so many years away from it, and I know I'm going on a tangent making your show longer, but
that's what you do. It's all good.
It's what I do. There's so many actors that were just so perfect for their roles. Like, you know, Rosenbaum or Kristen or Glover or Allison Mack, you know, or Erica.
It's like, Schneider, O'Toole, both of them, yeah.
Yeah, they all just added something to that show. And, like, now, especially with nostalgic goggles on, it's like, I can't picture other people playing these characters.
But you're right, though. Ultimately, it is bizarre to think, like, Supernatural will always be that show that, oh, yeah, Jason Teagle have to go do that.
I mean, my April Fool's gag on Krypton site that year was that Supernatural was a hidden Jason Teague spinoff.
Yeah. And here we are, so...
yeah, Jason Teague, season 15.
He's the one Smallville character that got the spinoff show, not the
they
Flash.
They do an episode where him and Sam go to Shanghai to find out about some witch.
I feel like I've been here before. But anyway, moving on.
Now I want to see Kristen Kreuk on Supernatural.
Speaking of Kristen, her and Tom Welling arrive in Shanghai, quote-unquote, and they could not help themselves. They had to say, quote, "We're definitely not in Kansas anymore." It's like, really? I know you guys are in Kansas, but that's like, we like, whenever anyone's...
you're in the same city that you used for Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, Wizard of Oz, we get it. But anyway, this this bike messenger comes by and kind of hits Lon, and she has to, like, get into Clark's arms. They have this embrace for like a few seconds, and they have this moment, you know.
But, you know, Klonoa was on the back burner so much this season that I'm sure there were fans, like, if you look at the live thread on Krypton site for this episode, I'm sure fans kind of went nuts when that happened.
Oh my god, they hugged! Do you see the way they looked at each other? Oh my god, Klonoa forever! Yeah, I'm sure. So, but hey, it's coming up. You know, I mean, Jason and Lana, despite their small reconciliation at the end of this episode, this is the beginning and the end of their relationship, so...
and then it goes crazy and starts shooting at people.
That's what you do. So they meet the professor that Lionel sent them there to meet. Now, this is an actress, Michelle Goh, who I said, she looks familiar. I didn't expect to find that she was in this, but I looked her up on IMDb. She was in Jitters. She was a character called Suki. I have no idea who that character was. I assume it Luther Corp, maybe. I'm just thinking about the episode of Jitters. But she was in a season one episode of Smallville
Jitters.
And
now when I hear Jitters, I think of the coffee shop on the Flash.
CC Jitters, exactly. So,
you know, I wonder if I noted that on the Krypton site news page at the time.
I don't recall, but that it's not in the companion, but it is interesting. One of those.
I didn't catch Yao Fei being on more than once.
Yeah, so we not only need a season 8, 9, and 10, we need revised versions of 4 through 7, and might as well do 1 through 3 while you're at it.
I'll just redo seasons 1 through 3.
Sorry,
Paul Simpson, who actually got interviews with everybody. Not that I'm jealous.
Moving on. So,
including the dog from Up.
So now we get our twist that Lex set up Jason and Lex being captured, because Lex had been pulled off to be quote unquote tortured earlier, and he's like, oh no, stop, whatever, and Jason's left in the jail cell. They bring Lex back, he looks all beat up, and they take Jason away, and then Lex tells one of the guards, like, hey, don't hurt him, just scare him enough to get him to tell you what he knows,
and take off his shirt.
Yeah, take off his shirt, right? And then Yao Fei comes down the stairs. He's like, oh, I don't think so. There are people in the world who have more money than you, Mr. Luther. So Yao Fei, right? Byron Mann. He was in Insurgents. He was the guy in charge of the team that was supposed to bug Lionel's office. Ultimately gets killed by his subordinate. And there you go. So maybe these guys are related. Who knows?
Yeah.
I always try to think that when they return actors. I'm like, okay, that must be his cousin or something. just try to have some in-universe explanation.
In the X-Files and Millennium, Hiro Kanagawa, who played Principal Kwan, got killed like 8 different times.
Yeah, he really did.
And he's been in almost every DC show. He was in Heroes Reborn.
Yes, yes.
He was the first Dr. Oliver Queen saw in the Arrow pilot.
Oh, he was. Oh man, I haven't watched the
Arrow
pilot.
He was on iZombie.
Time.
I don't know if that counts, but still. I think he showed up in... Oh, he's in Legends of Tomorrow, I think, at one point as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Principal Kwan gets around. Actors, man. Principal Kwan, man.
And now the dude from Crush was Captain Marvel Jr.
Oh, yeah. So that's perfect casting, right? Because, I mean, right. The guy that's playing Freddy, you're like, man, he looks like a young Adrian Brody. Or not Adrian, excuse me, Adam Brody.
Adrian Brody, yeah.
Different actor.
Yeah. You know, we just spoiled Shazam.
Oh, you know, it's been out for like 3 weeks now, so.
But I also, like, again, I love the fact that John Glover was in it basically playing Lionel.
Oh, big time. And then the
complete
the,
with having a disappointing son.
Right. And the other twist of it was, like, I thought he died in the first scene. And then he gets another scene. I'm like, oh wow, that's awesome. So yeah, when I first saw that on Twitter, like Zachary Levi and John Glover, you know, their accounts talking to each other.
Yeah.
I was like, is this some kind of joke? Did they like see each other at a convention or something? You know, like, and then when he finally showed up in the movie, I'm like, oh no, he's really in the movie. That's awesome. So in the first scene. So anyway.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. But also, Adam Brody was supposed to play the Flash in Justice League Mortal.
Yeah, and the guy that played G.J. Carrera, was that his name?
G.J. Catrona was supposed to be Superman.
Yeah, and they're both part of the Shazam family. So that was I think that they should have gotten all the Justice Army Hammer. They could have gotten all those guys.
That would have
been
funny.
Shazam family.
But we just went on a tangent, but you know.
But we did. But
now that Lionel has appeared in a DC movie, I think it just needs to be a requirement to have somebody from
Smallville
world in each movie.
Well, I think, you know, honestly, I think every DCEU movie does have a Smallville person in it. I mean, definitely the Snyder movies
no,
do.
The,
obviously,
the best was in Man of Steel. Like, I'd like you to meet Dr. Emile Hamilton in the next scene. Dr. Emile Hamilton in the next scene. I'm like, yep.
Well, there's like 4 or 5 Smallville guys in Man of Steel. But anyway,
but
yeah, we got you. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So, the professor takes Clark and Lana to the temple, and she starts telling him about, oh, there was an ancient god that hid his treasure here for him to return. And you're like, okay, what does this mean? Like, they never explained.
Who was this god?
Here. Yeah. I mean, so somebody from Krypton, obviously, that came through a portal, I guess. I don't know.
Was it when Joe was there and Rollet?
It was around 1961.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But Clark uses X-ray vision, and he sees through the wall.
And he sees a shirt.
Yeah, there's a shirt. And they make such a big deal about this shirt. I'm like, I just don't understand. Because there's nothing on the shirt that's not on the map.
Right.
So I don't know why it's a big deal. But He tells Lana's like, "Oh, Clark, did you find something?" He's like, "No, you guys keep looking around. I'm gonna look around here.
I gotta pee."
So he goes up to the wall and pushes it in. It is a cool, like, that's some Indiana Jones stuff. That is cool. Where he pushes the wall.
Then the eyes start to move a little bit and start to glow green.
Yeah. So was that just me? Did the eyes move before they glowed?
It looked like the eyes moved a little bit before they glowed.
I thought that too. And that is cool. But these things are being guarded. Like, did the people not want the quote-unquote god to come back and get his thing? Like, is that... I just don't understand why Kryptonite's around these things. The show even knows it's a problem, addresses it, and then never answers it. So...
But then Clark's on the floor. Is there like a check mark thing for when Clark is spelled by Kryptonite?
There is not a... That's way too far for the tally board. But no, he is weakened by the Kryptonite. He gets passed out. Now... the professor and Lana are in another part of the temple, and oh, by the way, we have a Bechdel test pass because of this conversation, because they're talking about the temple. So
the first scene where Lana's not talking about secrets from a man.
That's very true.
Entire series.
But then Yao Fei's troops come in here and snap the doctor's neck. I was like, oh my god, that is hardcore. Like, that's pretty visceral, I think.
We also discussed the fact that we saw a jail cell, but Allison Mack is not in this episode.
There it is. See, you're just waiting on it. Craig, he messaged me earlier today, and he was like...
Yeah, like, I saw a jail cell. I went in to make an Allison Mack joke, and I'm like, wait a minute, Chloe's not in this one.
Yeah, it's just... You just couldn't help yourself, Craig. So,
no.
But yes, they snap the doctor's neck. They take Lana off to the jail cell that triggered your memory that Allison Mack and Chloe
was not in it.
Yet. Yes.
The only reason
that they didn't kill Lana, because they were gonna like shoot her in the head. But I get those high tops I give her trouble for wearing all the time that saved her life, because he saw the tattoo on her back, mm-hmm. and he was like, "Oh, what's this? Let's take her back to the back and torture her." So. Those high tops saved her life, Craig. So I guess I shouldn't make fun of them anymore.
Exactly. You know, and we need to get to the magic Lana part.
Yes. Yes. So they're torturing Jason and Lana. Or sorry, Jason and Lex. And it's the classic, like, we're gonna like hook you up to electricity and electrocute you with this thing on your heart and all this stuff.
And then they're gonna make them watch Ageless.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested to see. I mean, I haven't seen that in years. Like, why would I? Right. So I
am completely serious, and I'm also putting this out here on your show. You better not delete it. You need to ask Steve DeKnight to be on the episode with you. I think he would do it.
All right. Okay. I heard it here.
He's on Twitter.
I will ask him. He has responded and liked to tweets of mine in the past.
I really think if you're ever going to get a writer from Smallville, you need Steve DeKnight for Ageless.
All right, I will ask him. I will leave this in the podcast. And so okay, now, good. So now when he doesn't come on, you can all be like, man, I wish Steve DeKnight would have come on. That would have been cool. But he's a busy guy. If he can't make the time, I understand. But I guess before I ask him, I should watch Pacific Rim 2, because I never saw that. So.
Did anybody?
Oh, but moving on.
No, I mean, it's a nice... I would have. It just kind of came and went. Like, I liked the first Pacific Rim.
I did too.
I loved DeKnight's work. Like, Daredevil season mm-hmm. one was excellent.
By far the best Marvel season. So,
you know.
All right. So there it is, guys. I'm going to ask Steven S. DeKnight. And if you can all like, retweet, tell him to be on it, we'll get that going for Ageless.
And I'll back you up.
All right.
He actually might have been, I mean, I love you all from Smallville if you're listening, but he was probably my favorite writer to talk to because mm-hmm. he had so many cool stories. So yeah, I get him for Ageless.
We can ask him about that Justice League spinoff that never happened, right? Because he was in the spirit of that. Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna do it, guys. I'm gonna ask him. I've thought about, like, there are lots of people from Smallville that I could potentially talk to on the show. I've just been so busy with my own life, like doing just the show proper. It's like, okay, when am I going to ask these people? But I am going to start getting into that the more time frees up. Have some interviews and things like that. But anyway, we'll try to get them on for Ages. We'll see how it goes.
Do it.
So,
Lana, thread.
Yeah, Lana gets pulled in. She gets hooked up to this electric chair because the torture on the Yao Fei is doing on Jason and Lex's work. It's like, where's the stone? Where's the stone? Where's the stone? Of course, they don't know. So they chain Lana up. And as soon as she starts getting electrocuted, she goes full Isabel. So we have a +1 for possession count because Isabel takes over and she starts blowing guys away. Now, does she kill any of these people? I guess not.
Lana's killed people before. It's no big deal.
Well, she's only killed the guy with the pitchfork from Phoenix. Okay, let's be real here. She will kill at least one more person before the season's over. But she shot Clark with this energy too, and he was fine. And so, like, I have to say,
watching this, it looked like Kristen was having a lot of fun.
I'll give her that.
It was like when Tom got to be John Glover.
Mm-hmm. Although nowhere near as good.
No, I love Lana's Isabel was fun in this episode.
Oh, she was fun. I mean, this is a better episode than Spell. I'll give it that. So she wipes out Yao Fei and all his guys, and then I guess after this failure, Yao Fei gets sentenced to Leon Yu, right? Is that how it goes? Is that how you tie it together? So she's like, oh, she kind of, you know, talks some crap to Jason and Lex, like, oh, you two again, you know, and she says, you fools, it was never a map, and then runs away. And you're like, what does it mean, right? I'm pretty sure it was a map at the beginning of season four, and they're just making this up as they go along, but who knows? Because as I understand it, Craig, you know, according to your book, you know, an interview with Stephen S. DeKnight, speaking of, like, the Isabel story was supposed to be over in Spell, but because they didn't know what else to do with season four, they just brought her back. That was my understanding of how it was in the book. Like Spell was going to be the end of Isabel.
I don't remember any of this.
I mean, that surprised me, but...
This is 15 years ago.
I know. I can't even remember a podcast I did 5 weeks ago, so I totally understand. But
exactly. I'm like, okay, yeah, if you say you said that.
But I think it tracks because, like, yeah, that did seem to be the end of all that witch stuff, you know? And you didn't really see her back. You could have assumed that the tattoo went away, right? But it's when they start bringing in Mrs. Teague and they're talking, oh, we're still investigating the witch. You're like, oh, I guess we're going to drag this out. Because really, you could have just left it there. But here she is the rest of the season, for better or for worse. And you're right. Kristen is having a good time.
His father, the holographic doctor, for another 2 years.
Okay, they specifically say, by the way, that he is alive. He is not dead in season four. So,
when they were filming Traveler, they make a reference to him being dead, though. Like, when they were filming it. But then they decided to do the episode that brought him back.
Well, then he like faked his death or something. That's season seven. That's so cool. We'll tackle that stuff there. But basically, in season seven, they lead you to believe that Lionel killed him off like everybody else. But I don't know. We'll see when we get there. So that's,
I love Robert Picardo, but I don't know how Robert Picardo plus Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, makes a Dean Winchester.
that's like the ultimate, like
I think she was cheating with the mailman.
Well, she was cheating with the original actor who played Edward Teague. It looked nothing like Robert Picardo, the guy from the flashbacks. So,
okay, fair. Or, you know, she was sleeping with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Very possible. Very possible. So Clark busts in, and I love he has the presence of mind to use the tools around him to cut Jason and Lex down from the chains and not just rip him off himself, right?
Right. I mean, he could just secretly use a little bit of heat vision. I mean, he would have been excited because Jason has no shirt on.
Well, speaking of all these guys together, this is a funny scene to see these three guys arguing about Lana for this one scene. You know, like, how'd you get Lana into this? It's your fault she's here, right? You know, because they never really do that. We never have these three characters together in a lot of scenes. So Lex tells Clark, Clark, is there anything you know that you're not telling us or anything you know could help? And because they're arguing, it's like, Les Abel and Lana can take care of herself, and all this is going on. But Clark ultimately takes them to the show. He, thinks about it for a second. He's like, yeah, I've got nothing to lose. So he takes Lex and Jason to the shirt. But by the way, we failed to mention that some Yao Fei's troops came over to Clark as well and inadvertently saved him from the kryptonite because they were, pulling him off to kill him, I guess, and then pulled him away, and that's how he got his strength back, and then he found Jason and
But when
Lex.
Clark walked back there, it didn't turn back on.
Well, he didn't go too close. You know, that was the key. Like, even Lex is like, Clark, you want to get a closer look at this? And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm good over here.
I'm good. So,
cool. Now, I like Clark's response here because Lex is like, Clark, you're telling me that my father scoured this entire temple, didn't find this, but you just stumbled across it? And he's like, what do you want me to say, Lex? It's obviously been here for a long time. I thought that was a pretty good reply. So.
But it's not dusty or anything like that.
Yeah. So, the significance of the shirt, right? They're all looking at it, and I just don't understand why this is so significant, because it basically just is the map on a shirt, right?
Yeah. We need to, mass produce those shirts.
I would not wear that shirt.
We can wear them when we go bowling.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Yeah, okay. Or for Chinese New Year, I guess. I don't know. So So
Chinese bowling.
So it's like Chinese checkers. It'd be very dangerous if so. So they, looking at this, they figure out like, oh, I get it now. It's not a map to here. It's a map of here. And it's from the point of view of the artist. And then they have this transition, like from you zoom into the shirt and it becomes the tree that's outside that faces the temple and that kind of thing.
That's part of Vancouver Chinese Gardens.
Yes. And it's a good thing the landscape and that tree hadn't changed in this last several hundred years. Right, Craig?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that tree, I don't understand. How that would look exactly the same.
It's like a bonsai tree. They just cut it every year.
There you go. I get that must be it, right? But Isabel summons the stone with her chant, which is always ridiculous. I feel like I'm watching Charmed when she does this stuff, right? She summons the stone. It comes out of the ground. It's in these classic, like, you know, ancient China horse sculpture, right? Breaks it, and then the stone of power is in it. Now, I guess this is what? This is the... is this fire? Like, what are the three elements? Like, it's just like water, air.
Water was transference.
Water was transference. Air was crusade. What is this one? Because the problem is there are four elements in the real world, and there's only three stones.
Earth, wind, water, fire, heart.
I guess, okay.
Star powers combined. I am Captain Planet. I don't know.
I guess this is Earth, so if it's in the Earth, we'll go with that.
I bet you're going to find the answer in Smallville, the official companion, season 4.
I'll have to keep reading. Available wherever books are sold, by the way, so I recommend you guys all go pick them up. So when Isabel grabs it, you know, remember in Spell when she touched it, like it was like too powerful for her, you know, for humans to touch and all that. That was a cool element about the elements, right?
Right.
But here she has a red handkerchief to hold it. I guess that's what makes the difference this time. Like, I really don't know. It's just not, it's bad continuity from last time when she got a stone.
But she's Super Lana right now.
But she was Super Lana then. That's the thing. When she goes to take the stone out of the cave, it like burns her hand. It's too powerful for her and it restores
Maybe
Clark's
powers.
Maybe
it's when
it's
in the cave, it has the issue. But when it's
sure.
In the
That is some Smallville season 4 logic if I've ever heard it. But also, you know, I've had this theory all season that whenever Clark gets the headache, right, it's like when Sagitt is near the Stones of Power, right? Because it worked in Crusade, it worked in Transference, right? Here, and this is the episode I wasn't too sure on, it doesn't really track here because Isabel's with the stone, he's not, and that's what gives him the headache to go, the homing beacon to go find it, right? And maybe that's, I guess it's when another human is near it, I guess, but she had it before in Spell. But I guess he didn't have his power, so I don't. They don't know what they don't know either. I get it, but my theory, and it still holds for if you thinking forward to commencement, right? Because when Lex gets the stone off of Lionel, right, when it gets activated, that's when Clark gets the homing beacon like alarm, and he super speeds there and goes into Lex's safe, and then the kryptonite again gets him just like it does in this episode. We actually see the same like dragon mask that's protecting the protecting the shirt here. We see in Lex's safe in commencement. So anyway, continuity hit or misses, I guess. So they start fighting over the stone, Isabel and Clark, and we get our crouching lot of hidden Clark, right? So
and just that little spin in the air.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Like, in the companion, they do talk about how
Lana can fly and Clark can't.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna say. I knew you were gonna say something like that. I knew it.
It's not but, Clark Kent. It's Clark Kent.
So, but yeah, you know, Kristen Kirk being into gymnastics and all that, and have it passed in gymnastics, she took to these stunts really well, and the stunt coordinator said that she did a really great job to him and took to him well. And yeah, she looks great doing the kung fu, and they're really playing into, you know, Kristen Kirk and her Asian heritage because she's in this outfit, which, by the way, where
Never
did
mind
get
both
outfit?
Of her parents on the show are white.
Yeah, again, Dean Cain should have played Henry Small, would have solved all these problems, but...
Or actually, three of her parents were white. But don't forget Henry Small.
What?
He was actually Black Canary's uncle.
That's true, in real life.
And also Lex Luthor's son on Lois and Clark.
It's hashtag, it's all connected.
It's all connected.
But where did Isabel get this getup she's wearing now? Like, she is in Lana's clothes, and then she
downtown
just...
Downtown Vancouver.
But she just puts it on, like, we're just sitting around in this temple. Like, she should have put on the shirt that they were like, right? They wanted to put her in
it. Shirt. He wasn't using it.
So,
but no, you know, this Lana Fu outfit works better for spinning in the air.
Yes, we go full Lana Fu. We've been joking about it for years. This is her in China doing Lana Fu in an Asian outfit. And I mean, you know, as ridiculous as this is, Clark's sword fighting Lana with magic and her as being a witch, like, it actually is really well shot and choreographed, I think.
It is very well choreographed, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of stupid, but it's fun.
But as you've been, you know, giving Clark crap about, where he can't fly, right? She kind of spins up to the air, and he does a super jump and rips the stone out of her pocket. And then they both touch the stone, but that makes some kind of energy discharge, where they get blown back. And the only reason that is like that is so Clark can't get the stone and put it in the cave, basically. Because there's no reason that should have happened. But that happens. Clark is disoriented. Isabel is gone now. Lana wakes up like, how do we escape the guards? So we have a plus one for amnesia count there. And we
also
don't...
Why can't Clark just ask Jor-El how he can get these elements without trouble?
I don't want to do what you asked me to do. Like, if they would actually had a real conversation, that so many problems on this series would have been solved, right? It's like, so what are these?
We would have had like 18 episodes rather than 200.
This would have, yeah, exactly, right? But Jason runs in, wakes up Lana. Lex runs in. Of course, he's like, who has the stone? We don't know where the stone is. So this is like the second time now where there's been like some chaos in an episode. We've had a stone, and it's gone. So Clark has had in his possession all the stones, but just never at the same time. So way to go, Clark.
Wait, so nobody asked Clark where the stone was on their flight home?
Well, he said he said he didn't have it.
Yeah, but Clark lies.
Yeah, well, true. But as we find out, someone here mailed it to themselves to get it through security, I guess. But we have we have our next scene is back at the Kent barn, and Clark's up at his dining room table again, which for whatever reason I noticed this episode more than others. And he's writing this, he's trying to write this essay, why I want to go to Central State or whatever. And it's funny, even Lana comments on the futility of that. Like, yeah, that seems like nothing after we've been fighting witches in China, right?
It's true.
And, you know, this scene really is nothing. Like, it's not even annoying to me, or it's just, like, there's just nothing to this scene. Like, I they're getting back to the Clark and Lana at the loft stuff. Although she does mention the irony of Clark saying that she didn't recognize Lana with all this craziness going on around her. So, I mean, that's a valid point, I guess, because she's usually
also,
the one with those
lines. Also, you know, they're kind of teeing up to, like, Spirit and stuff like that when Clark and Lana start to get close again.
Yeah, that Spirit, you know, just warming y'all up for it. I stopped watching Smallville After Spirit for a few episodes because I was so mad at what they did with the prom episode. Because I was like, oh, good, finally, Clark will go to the prom with Chloe, right? Because that makes sense at this point. But no, he goes with Lois and Lana. Like, are you kidding me? But anyway, I'll save my
The funny thing about Spirit, since I'm not on that episode, I'll tell you, is a couple years later, I got an email from Minette O'Toole, and she's like, you know, I was going to email you to ask which episode it was where I was possessed and singing Ashley Simpson or something.
That is hilarious. Like, as annoying as that episode is to me, like, her
Round
is like...
Round time, bitch.
Yeah, that is arguably the best line of the show. That, and then Martha Kent, she's like, so-and-so is a big, fat hoe. Like, it's like, are you going to see Martha do that? That's, I mean, look, you just got to embrace full season four with that.
But again, it's like the show, it's the best when they can use the parents to good effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like when Jonathan goes to save Clark, or, you know,
well,
when
Jonathan
does something, or when Lionel plays a big part and he's all scary and shit, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So you're not on Spirit. I'll ask you this now. Like, what wasn't Sam Jones III going to be in Spirit? And that's why.
I broke that news.
There you go. So Jonathan filled his role. That's why the Kints were chaperones, right? Because Pete would have been at the school with Chloe, and that's why he would have saved Clark with the kryptonite, but we needed someone else to do it, and that's why Jonathan did it. Is that accurate?
I don't know that much. All I know is that they thought they had Sam, and the next thing I knew, they didn't.
Was it like a scheduling thing, or?
I have no idea, because Sam was also supposed to be in Jinx.
Right, yeah, yes. We did mention that on the companion. Yeah, that would have been really good. I mean, just...
I don't know. That would be a question to ask Alan Miles on Twitter.
All right, we'll ask him. I'll get them on the show next after Stephen S. tonight, right? I mean, that's a goal. I'm not even joking. That's a goal. I do want to interview them at some point.
His opening door, but also it would be funny.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he always jokes about doing the exploding baby episode. So.
Yeah. So, moving on from that, I will get a screenshot of of Clark's email, because he does get after the scene.
What's up, Smallville?
Yeah, what's up, Smallville, from Lois Lane? But he gets a final email from Dr. Swan, and we'll find out what that says at the end of the episode. But then we get Lex at the mansion, and we see his password is elements. And I wasn't...
It was a tie-in to the LutherCorp.net website.
Right, okay, yeah. This was a tie-in for something at the time, right, Craig?
Right, yeah. By the same people that did the Smallville Ledger and Torch sites that I used to write for.
Exactly. So log it as Lex Luthor. It's like, come on, Lex. No wonder people are always hacking your system, right?
And the level 3 website was really lame.
Really? I don't think I ever went to the... I went to the Ledger a lot back in the day. Well,
you know, the classified ads on the Ledger were written by me.
Yes, I've heard you mention that many times on the podcast. But
yeah.
Did you write the one... I don't know if you talked about this on air or not, but... The one where Pete wakes up after Visage and he's like, oh, I'm just glad it wasn't a weekend or I would have died in the hallway or something. Like, that was a great...
I don't remember that, but I wrote almost all the columns as Pete.
That was a great little snippet. And it's not... I don't think it's in the companion. Like, the companion has some of the articles and snippets that y'all wrote back in the name, but not all of them. I always remember that because, like, I thought about that with Pete, where he's passed out in the hallway and nobody remembered him. Kind of like the episode of Arrow where Ray Palmer confronts... Oliver and Roy, and just like Emperor Palpatine's Roy, and then everybody leaves and Roy's just still passed out there like in season 3. Like, hey, what happened to Roy? But anyway. Good stuff. So we have a plus one for shut that laptop, right? Because Lionel comes in and Lex quickly shuts his laptop so Lionel can't see what's going on.
But, you know, they still dwelled on the website and the password enough so that people would go to...
Yes, that much attention was paid to that. And so,
I mean, it wasn't like, check out my new Ford Escape, but, you know.
My Yaris gets good mileage, but. Lionel comes in to check on Lex. He's all concerned about him and stuff. And Lex thinks Lionel is the one that sent him up in China, but clearly not, because, again, like, the show doesn't remember that Lionel doesn't have money and power anymore.
Who is the person that had more money then?
Well, it would have been Genevieve Teague, right?
Okay.
Because I think that. That was a smart double twist. Like, Lex set them up to get Jason, but then the Teagues set them up to get Lex. I mean, that's the way I saw it. Because ultimately, who gets away with the crystal? The Teagues do, right? So
Dr. Quinn,
watch out for her. So that's the only other... Maybe Bridget Crosby, because she never existed, but we're almost there.
She shows up dead, so...
Yeah. So apparently she did exist, right? This is a good scene between Lex and Lionel, and it's interesting. This is good Lionel still. So he's saying, like, yeah, I gave up my quest for the stone because I realized even if I found him, I wouldn't have found what I'm really looking for. So I think that's interesting.
Indeed.
And then Lionel wearing Lex's, like, zipper sweaters is always funny to me as well. You can kind of tell how, like, in good shape John Glover is, because these sweaters kind of hug him a little more than these three-piece suits. So I'm like, all right, good for you, John. Keep working out, man. So anyway, we have our Lana and Jason scene to wrap things up at the end of the episode. He does ask if he can come in, so I guess this finally establishes that he doesn't live there. I've been curious about that. I hadn't really figured out if he lived with Lana or not at the Talon. But this is the Lana we all know and love, right? She's accusing Jason of lying to him and real mad at him, right, Craig? Your favorite Lana.
You're hiding secrets from me, Jason.
You almost said Clark. So she's mad at him. He does say, like, hey, I didn't want you to get hurt. And you did get electrocuted in a chair, so I guess I was right about that. I mean, he does have a point, to be fair. And ultimately, though, he reveals that he's the one that grabbed the stone. And he did it for Lana. He didn't tell anyone. He mailed it to himself from China, which I just found a very funny way.
So he knows how to write in Chinese, apparently.
I guess so, right? Some money there did the translation. So, I mean, he didn't... Again, this is either more lies from Jason... Or more complete retconning coming. That's the whole problem with this whole character right here, because it's hard to buy, like, what he's saying.
I thought he was a nice guy. And then, of course, he went crazy, which I thought was because he had to leave the show.
Yeah. It's like, well, we got to write him up. Well, they wanted to wrap up all these plot lines. So, yeah. I mean, seriously, if Jason Teague stays one more year, where do they even go with him? Assuming they don't make him crazy at the end, Craig. Like, what would you even see him doing? Like,
Red Hood.
Okay, well, you can't have Batman, but you can use resurrected Jason Todd. Oh, sure.
No, well, his name is Jason.
There you go. So, already closer than Adam Knight was to Batman, I guess.
And closer than Chloe Sullivan was to Lois Lane.
I don't, you know, if you take the letters and Chloe Sullivan, yes, 13 Sullivan Lane or 1938 Sullivan Lane or whatever their address is. Anyway. Lois and Clark lived on that street in the comics. So we have our next to last scene with Clark and the Kents. And Mr. Kent, Clark comes in, he's like, "Well, I hope you brought us a souvenir." That was a good one-liner about going to China. And
I think Bo Kent would be madder about that.
He's kind of mellowing out a little more about Clark doing all this stuff in season four. So
you don't want him to have a heart attack or something.
No, of course not, right? But this is the scene where they even bring up the fact that there's kryptonite guarding these stones, and I'm starting to question if they ever really went for me. I'm like, I don't know, maybe you should go talk to Jor-El about it, Clark. Like you said, Craig, like you just talked to him, you saw all these problems. We have a bigger problem, because the last email, I guess time-delayed email sent by Dr. Swan, it's where he sent him an email and a paper with the note, but whatever, with the disc, but whatever. It basically says that he'd been spending his whole life looking for the crystals, and basically the Dr. Swan subplot that we talked about when we talked about Gone, all those deleted scenes and stuff, right? He had spent his life trying to find these crystals, couldn't do it, but he, since he died, he wanted to give Clark the one stone of power that he did find, which would be the transference crystal from Transference. I'm using the term crystal and stone interchangeably. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's all the same, right? So he gave it to Bridget Crosby and told Bridget Crosby to give it to Clark. But Clark says he called her and her number's been disconnected, and it's like she never existed. It's like, what is that? What is that? Why can't they just say they can't find her?
Did you Google her?
Chloe wasn't in this episode. If Chloe were here, they could have used her unseen connections to track her down. So that's the problem there. But I don't know.
She had a cult meeting.
I do think that was a little over the top. Like she's like, she never existed. It's like, okay, whatever, Clark. So that's a dangling plot thread that they tie up sort of in the next couple episodes about where that crystal went.
And then she shows up dead, so apparently she did exist.
Yeah, apparently she did exist. Just like Chloe, just like the Legion of Superheroes. We have no record of Chloe Sullivan ever existing. So,
well, you know, truth be told, that actually would have been really interesting too with the Martha, what I said. If Martha, since she had met Bridget Crosby, had started to search for her herself because she cared about Clark, her son.
Okay, and he could
there
ultimately have
a storyline for Annette.
But you ultimately have to have a scene with the two of them, or I guess you just find that she died as well. It would be unfulfilling search if she's dead. I mean, but I see your point though. To give Annette O'Toole and Martha Kent something more meaningful to do than run the Talon, which I honestly don't know how long she does that for. Like, does Lois end up running the Talon at some point? Like, it's just the Talon is just this, just handed around to all the female characters on the show.
It's like the apartment above the Talon.
Yeah, the apartment, exactly. Every female character has lived there one time or another. Oh, boy. So,
Except for Martha.
Well, they talk about living there, right? When they're going to lose the farm in exile, they mention that apartment above the Talon. So, there you go. So, they all could have lived there. So... And then finally, we have a little tag scene where Clark's in the secret room in the cave, and he's just looking at the crystal, and he hears Chris Harree's voice in Rosetta, Dr. Swan. It says, "Kal-El, you must write your own destiny." And that's one of his most famous lines from Rosetta that they switched the order of to make it sound like it could have been a different line. I liked how they did that, I guess. And what did you think of them using Chris Harree's dialogue here? I mean, like, just to make it more of a Dr. Swan episode, or what do you think, Craig?
It was a tribute. Mm-hmm. So I had no issue with it, because I actually half expected to see another dedicated Christopher Reeve note at the end of the episode.
Right.
So, yeah, I expected it. It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that closes the book on Christopher Reeve and Dr. Swan's character until season 7. Also, there is a deleted scene. It's less than a minute long.
It's of
Lex, and he's in a sweatshirt, which looks really weird. It's like Lex was shopped at Walmart.
He took
or something.
It from Lionel.
Yeah, it seemed like, but no, it wasn't even like the form-fitting sweatshirt. It was like this like Hanes sweatshirt you get at like Walmart. I swear, it was not a good wardrobe choice for Rosenbaum that day. But I assume it would have happened. I assume it would have happened at the end of the episode, in between the last two Clark scenes, because it's like 45 seconds. And it's him looking at the shirt. He's brought the shirt back from China, right? And you see the Kryptonian symbols on the shirt. And that's it.
Ooh.
But it's like he doesn't...
That's kind of cool.
But it's meaningless because the map is gone now. You don't need that.
But also, I do want to bring up in this episode, I thought it was kind of funny when Clark was playing stupid, like he didn't recognize like his eight-looking-ass thing.
Oh yeah,
you know, like Kryptonian symbols. Like, I don't know.
Well,
that was kind of cool.
The reason I think it goes there, well, obviously it'd be the end, but it does parallel Clark looking down at the secret room, the table there with the symbols on it, you know, and you see Lex looking down at the shirt with the symbols on it. So that is again the Clark Lex journeys, and they're going about it different ways. But ultimately, that shirt means nothing anymore because we've gone to China. The stone is gone. What does it matter? I guess. But Lex already knew there were Kryptonian symbols on that map. So they did a good job cutting it because it was just more confusing and pointless, in my opinion. So
I don't remember this deleted scene, so I'll just go with you on that.
Excellent.
Well, I do hope you brought us a souvenir.
I know that going to China is grounds for a serious lecture, but I didn't have a choice.
All right, Clark. At least please tell us that the stone is safe in the cave with the other one.
Look, even though there was kryptonite guarding the original map, I got the stone in my hand. But I lost it.
Clark, I don't understand. If these stones were intended for you to find, why would they be surrounded by kryptonite?
Yeah, it makes me wonder if they really were meant for me. But right now we have another problem. Before he died, Dr. Swan sent me one last email. He said he'd been searching for the stones for years, and even with the vast resources at his disposal, it was futile. I was his last hope. And that's why I asked Bridget Crosby to give me the one stone he did find.
Which stone?
That's the thing. I called her numbers, they're all disconnected. No one even claims to have known her. It's like she never existed.
Sacred got an 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb. And Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave a 2.5 out of 5. Ooh. So, Craig, I ask you, on the letter grade scale, what would you give Sacred?
C+. It had that really good moment, you know that moment in the cave with Jor-El, but just the whole going to China thing was kind of ridiculous. Yes, Lana doing her Lana Fu was kind of cool looking, but a lot of it didn't make much sense and seemed just like a distraction, even though it was part of the overall arc.
Yeah, it felt like a filler arc episode, which is an odd thing to say. Yeah. But actually, I'm 100% aligned with you. I also am going to give it a C+ because there's a lot of stupid stuff that I forgot about, but there's a lot of cool stuff that I forgot about, and ultimately it's like slightly better than average and fine,
like,
I guess.
I would have... Honestly, I remember this episode being worse than it was. So that's good. You know, like, I had some pleasant surprises when we were rewatching this episode, but it's definitely not one of the better episodes of the entire series.
That's for sure. All right, well, let's go down the tally board. We have a +1 for Amnesia Count. That brings us to 26. We have a +1 for Blue Shirt, Red Jacket. That brings us to 20. That's going to keep going up because he wears this in almost every episode for the rest of the show until season 8, until Jimmy Olsen points out that he always wears red and blue. Henry James Olsen, excuse me. Yeah. We have a +1 for Possession Count because Lana is possessed by Isabel. That brings us to 6. And they have a +1 for Shut That Laptop because Lex is working on his laptop. Lionel comes in, he shuts it. That brings us to 10. And finally, we have a Bechdel test pass because the professor and Lana have a conversation. So there you go.
But does Lana talk to any other women in the episode? I don't think so.
No. Well, Lana is very insulated this entire season. She basically has all her scenes with Jason or Lex and occasionally Clark when she's mad at him. So.
Okay.
and Chloe from time to time talking about Jason or Clark. So. Fair. All right. Well, there you go, Craig. See, that was fun, right?
We did it in an hour. This is a record for us.
We brushed through this, and really, I mean, like we said, it's kind of a filler episode, even though it's like getting back to the myth arc and the season arc of the show. It is kind of fluffy, and it's more about, hey, Indiana Jones, Legend of the Hidden Temple adventure in China kind of thing. Sure, I guess. But hey, there, Sacred, right? There it is.
There it is. It's over. You guys don't have to hear about Sacred ever again.
That's right. Not on this podcast. So Craig, people want to find you online. Where can they find you? They know where, but tell them again.
Stillexists.com. No, it's just Krypton Site and K-Site TV and whatever else you want.
And Swamp Thing TV, right?
I have a Swamp Thing thing, and DC Universe is a mess.
You guys know that the day we're recording this is the day that Swamp Thing released its first teaser trailer, but also was announced that it was being shortened by 3 episodes and canceled. So it's been a tough day for DC Universe.
Well, Warner Brothers hasn't confirmed the canceled thing yet. Mm. But I'm pretty sure it's probably true.
I don't know. I heard Tom Welling say he was going to be in the next season of Swamp Thing at a at a convention. Greg, what do you think of that?
Oh boy. Dog from Up.
Oh, DC Universe is great, but I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't last.
They don't have the best one on there.
What's that?
Smallville's on Hulu.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, obviously. I thought you were talking about original shows, but
no, the deal with DC Universe is I feel like in a world where we've got Disney Plus coming out for $7.99 a month for all that content. I mean, for me, DC Universe, I love Doom Patrol. I wasn't a fan of Titans. I think Smallville fans will see a new reason to be excited for Stargirl when it happens soon. But all their stuff they have, I already have on DVD. And the comics, right. I don't like reading comics on the computer.
Oh, no. I like physical comics. I still do, and I always will.
So I don't really see, I mean, even if they were to do like a Smallville animated movie would be kind of cool, but it's like, do they really need it? I mean, Young Justice being there is great, but it's going to come to Blu-ray eventually.
Yeah, they really like it, the price point is low for what they offer, though. I will say $7.99.
But compared to what Disney Plus is going to be.
That's the thing. Disney Plus is really putting people to shame because they have the overhead to afford that for people, right?
But I think what we're going to have in 2020 is we'll have a big Warner Media streaming service, and DC Universe will just fold into that.
Yeah.
Everything there, including Smallville.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, DC Universe, it needs to have everything. Like, I mean, and I mean every last thing DC has ever put on screen.
Including some of the pilots that never went. Like,
yes,
Aquaman.
Wonder Woman, Aquaman, you know, they need all that stuff.
Well,
so
Wonder Woman needs a little bit of work.
Well, like, I mean, they could still put it up there. Hashtag release the David E. Kelly cut. So, I agree with you. I think it's weird that Warner Brothers announced this service. I'm like, I wish that it seems to be a recurring theme over there. Warner Brothers, no synergy between any of their departments. It's like they could have held off on DC Universe.
It's like the Joker movie, not having connections to the DCU, which, I mean, fine, you want to do something unique, great, but it's kind of weird, especially now that Gotham has their Joker coming out this week and next.
So many Jokers.
By the way, David Mazouz is going to wear the costume, which is more than we could say for somebody else.
We'll see. We are going to do a Patreon special about the Gotham series finale because I'm curious. I haven't watched it since the first half of the first season, and I don't care about the show at all. So
here's the thing about Gotham, and yes, I'm keeping the show recording. Gotham started out pretty bad. Mm-hmm. They finally decided, you know what? We don't care about continuity. We're just going to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Like one of the most useless characters when the show started was Barbara, Jim Gordon's girlfriend.
And now she's basically Harley Quinn,
absolutely
right?
Crazy. Yes. They made her absolutely crazy, and now she's like the best part of the show. Mm.
I saw in the trailer for the series finale, she's like pregnant and giving birth in labor, just shooting guns at people as she's giving birth to, I assume, Barbara Gordon.
A ridiculous mess. It's like ageless every week.
That's the headline right there. Thirst. I like thirst.
I mean, I do wish, though, I mean, I've said this many times before, I do wish Smallville, like Alan Miles, had gotten to do their, maybe have their Bruce Wayne on and spin that out from Smallville.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine a Gotham show in the Smallville universe at that time?
That would have been amazing.
Like, it's not fair that we have like 8 million DC shows right now, but we couldn't get a freaking Batman show while Smallville was a thing.
Or a Green Arrow show, or a Supergirl show, or a Flash show, or an Aquaman show.
Or a Lois Lane show.
There you go. Or Lois Lane Green Arrow show, apparently. That was so, who knows, right? But anyway, yeah. Good. It's all that to say, it's good times to be a good time
but
to be
you
DC
know what?
Comics fan.
And also, we're still always holding on to Smallville this many years later.
We are. So we'll be back next week talking about Lucy, who you might recognize from Gotham as Poison Ivy, or The Flash as Golden Glider. The Flash, where Michael Ironside also plays her father. So just throwing that out there. So, but until then, Always hold on to Smallville.